In the midst of that news broadcast at the top of the hour, there was a federal judge who overthrew people's decision in one of many states, and it's now a cancer in America. The judge is overthrowing the people's vote on same-sex marriage and saying it violates the Constitution's mandate for equal protection under the law. Now, most people don't know that the U.S. Constitution is supported by the Federalist Papers, and the Federalist Papers exist for the express purpose of helping judges interpret their intent with the U.S. Constitution. And I can assure you that equal protection was never the being afforded to sexual preference was never the purpose of that clause in the Federalist Papers or in the U.S. Constitution. The equal protection clause was for I can't even say for racial minorities, because at the time it was written, you know, half of the states were engaged in slavery. So, but it was, you know, equal protection of the citizens of the country, and with absolutely no inference to sexual preference. But beyond this, let's say that you're a judge and you're going to stretch equal protection to sexual preference and say, therefore, the will of the people does not apply. How do you deal with the portion of the U.S. Constitution that specifically says that the things that have been listed herein are the exclusive, are the total of the things that can be controlled by the federal government? It's the full extent of the federal government's power and authority are to those things that are specified in the U.S. Constitution. And that all other authority is afforded to the states and to the people themselves. And since there is no mention of marriage in the U.S. Constitution being a federal, not mention a marriage period, much less stating that marriage is a falls under the federal list of things that it can engage in and have control over. You have to violate the U.S. Constitution to take authority away from states and people to give the federal government authority over any such issue as marriage, which isn't mentioned. So you have to completely ignore one of the most important planks of the U.S. Constitution and stretch beyond credulity one of its statements to overthrow the votes of the people. It's at some point, the citizens of America need to wake up and to recognize that this is no longer a government of the people, that they really have no say in their government, and that the U.S. Constitution, which is the only document that affords the government any authority, is being routinely undermined and dismissed by that very government, so that we are no longer a country that's based on the rule of law. This is a very serious assault on the people's power that is underway at this point. Regardless of what your position is on same-sex marriage, the same argument, of course, can be made on the assault of the Second Amendment with the right to keep and bear arms. The same can be made about free speech. In Brussels, Iran is directing, this dateline is from Brussels, and it's only because there's not a lot of Western journalists in Tehran. Iran, it is how it reads from CNN, is directing surveillance drones over Iraq. So not only do we have American aircraft and surveillance drones flying over Iraq, not only do we have Syrian warplanes flying over Iraq, but we've got Iranian drones flying over Iraq. Can you imagine being in an air traffic control tower in Baghdad and say, "Ooh, there went one right now. Who's that one belong to?" Nobody's talking to you. Nobody is squawking a transponder code. Nobody is filing a flight plan. And you're trying to coordinate civilian aircraft of people trying to get the hell out of there with three different countries flying military aircraft over your airspace, none of which are acknowledging that they're doing so. But anyway, yes, Iraq is now directing surveillance drones over Iraq. It's just a matter of time before Saudi Arabia begins to do the same thing. And you might say, I didn't even know Iraq had Iran had drones. Yes, an American drone flying over Iraq or over Iran crashed. And one of our most sophisticated bat-wing stealthy drones crashed over Iran, and the Iranians reversed engineered it. Well, it is secretly supplying Iraq, or Iran is, with literally tons of military equipment and supplies and other assistance, American officials have said. Tehran is also deployed in intelligence units to interpret communications. The secret Iranian programs are part of a, how could it be secret if America is talking about them? And so is, by the way, the Iranian government. Part of a barter effort by Tehran to gather intelligence to help Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's government in its struggle against the Sunni militants with the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. General Qasem Soleimani, the head of Iran's paramilitary Quds Force, you know, the Iranians have two special forces. And their special forces are much larger than the special forces, say, even of the United States. One is the Quds Force, and the other is Hezbollah. So General Qasem Soleimani is the head of the Quds Force. He has visited Iraq at least twice just in the last 2 weeks to help the Iraqi military advisors plot their strategy. So not only do you have American military advisors in Baghdad, you've got Iranian military advisors in Baghdad. The nation that is most threatening to the United States because of its development of its nuclear arsenal and its rhetoric towards the United States is now coordinating with the, well, I can't say they're coordinating, but they're both in Baghdad working with the Iraqi government. And Iran has deployed about a dozen other Quds Force officers to advise the Iraqi commanders, in addition to mobilizing 2,000 Shiite militiamen from Iran into Iraq. The Iranian transport planes have also been making two daily flights of military equipment and supplies into Baghdad, 70 tons per flight for the Iraqi security forces. Actually, that's not true. The Iranian government isn't supplying 140 tons of military hardware a day for the Iraqi security forces. They're supplying it for the 250,000 or more that are part of the Shiite militias loyal to either al-Sistani or to his counterpart also there in Iraq, Assad. This report from the U.S., it's a substantial amount. Now, I would assume that 140 tons of military hardware is a substantial amount. This American official also declined to be identified because he was discussing classified reports. It tells you that there isn't much integrity in the U.S. military. You know, it's interesting too that you have someone like Edward Snowden that reveals classified reports that show that America's NSA is spying on ordinary Americans, recording their every keystroke and every telephone call. And he is chased out of the country as a traitor. And yet you've got a senior American official disclosing classified military reports to the media, and no one seems to care. It's not only necessary, it's not only heavy equipment, but it's also light arms and ammunition that the Iranian government is supplying to the Shiite militias. You know, it's just amazing that America now is on the side of and will be coordinating the battle movements with Iran of Shiite Mujahideen. The Iranian moves come as the United States is deploying as many as 300 military fighters to assist these same Iraqi forces and to try to stabilize the deteriorating security situation in Iraq. And nothing says stability like having Mujahideen fight Mujahideen in the hundreds of thousands and to have countries that despise one another arming both sides in the conflict. The American and Iranian military moves are not coordinated, American officials said, even though the United States and Iran both oppose the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, known as ISIS. They are still competing for influence in Iraq and are backing opposing sides in the civil war in Syria. Now, that's just astonishing, isn't it? There is no competition for influence in Iraq. America gave Iraq to Iran. America has no influence in Iraq anymore. Iran has total control. Now, Iran still wants America to participate because the more weapons America supplies, the better. But here's America supplying ISIS with weapons in Syria and yet supplying weapons to fight ISIS in Iraq. The Iranian forces are playing in a big way, Senator Saxby Chambliss of Georgia said. He is the ranking Republican on the Intelligence Committee in a recent interview. They are playing in a big way. And now what? You know, we gave Iraq to Iran by invading Iraq. What did we expect? And why are we now helping Iran dominate Iraq? Do you think that if the ISIS forces are thwarted in Iraq, that the Iranians, who have supplied 140 tons of weapons and all of their advisors to the Mujahideen forces, are simply going to go away? Yes, we've heard that the Sudanese Christian woman who was sentenced to die, and in addition to that, before she was dying, she was going to receive 100 lashes, was released. Everybody was celebrating. Boy, see, Islam can be reasonable. Yes, Miriam Yahya Ibrahim and her husband then, the invitation and the involvement of the U.S. State Department took them to the airport and were going to whisk them into America. And yet, when they got to the airport, the Sudanese government says, no, your papers have been forged. And so now she, her children, and her husband are back in jail. Nice job, America. You really handled that beautifully. And, of course, here SRN News, and they talk about this. They say, no, the whole debate is whether or not she was born a Muslim or raised a Muslim and then converted to Christianity and therefore runs afoul of Sharia law and would get the death penalty. And that's the debate. Family members are saying that she was originally a Muslim and now she's a Christian. You know, when that's the debate, somebody needs to get their head screwed on right. That ought not be the debate. In fact, there ought not be a debate. There ought to be a worldwide condemnation for a religion that says, if you choose not to be part of that religion anymore, we're going to kill you, and that it's state-sponsored, judicially approved murder of anyone who renounces the religion. If your religion is so inept that you have to threaten anybody who would say, I don't want to be part of it anymore, with murder, you ought not be part of that religion. This shouldn't be a debate. It should be an utter condemnation and total rejection of Islam worldwide. And there is no way for Islam to say, maybe that's a misinterpretation, that's a harsh or extreme interpretation of Sharia law, which some of the West will purport. But it isn't. The mandate for Muslims to murder any Muslim who rejects Islam is stated in the fourth surah of the Quran. You know, if a Muslim rejects Islam, kill them, is what the Quran says. And then it goes on to say, Allah wants you to kill them so that he can then take them and torture them in the hottest places in hell. The debate here ought not be a debate. It ought to be a worldwide condemnation of the Quran and of the religion of Islam. It's incompatible with anything that anybody would ever consider to be moral or just or humane or appropriate. It is a savage religion. That rather than having morons like the President of the United States endorsing it and calling it a great religion, the entire world ought to, with one voice, say, no. Islam is rotten to the core. Any religion that has in its core scriptures, the fourth surah of the Quran, a mandate to kill anyone who rejects the religion ought not be allowed. Now, this is not about religious freedom. This is about removing a deadly plague from humanity. But, you know, Islam is not the only religion that is rotten to the core. This next article is one that causes me to want to scream. The Roman Catholic Church, about 5 years ago, mandated that Yahweh's name can never be used in association with anything that is sponsored by the Catholic Church. Yahweh's name cannot be used in any Catholic Church, cannot be stated, cannot be written on any document published by the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church had a papal mandate that said, we will have absolutely nothing to do with Yahweh's name. And yet Yahweh's name is written 7,000 times in the book they claim to be scripture. It is God's one and only name. Yahweh says, Yahweh is my name. I have but one name. A God by any other name is not God. And yet in Malaysia, the Roman Catholic Church is using the court system to fight for the right to continue to use Allah. They write Allah. They publish Allah. Their Bibles read Allah. And it's always capitalized. It's never in lowercase. And while they would say that it's a word, everyone knows that in uppercase, it's a name. Is Malaysia's highest court on Monday dismissed a bid by the Roman Catholic Church for the right to use, and they say word, and then they put in quotes with a capitalized Allah. No. Words, in fact, I'm reading a sentence. Malaysia is capitalized. It's the name of the country. Highest court is not capitalized. Those are words. On Monday was capitalized. That's the name of a day of a week. Dismissed a bid by the, all lowercase, Catholic Church. Capitalize C, capitalize for both Catholic and Church. Those are names and a title. For the right to use the word, all lowercase, Allah, capital A, ending years of legal battles that has heightened religious tensions in the Muslim-majority country. All lowercase with exception of Muslim, which is the name of the religious followers of Islam. They go on to the next sentence, and they have Malaysia capitalized and Christian capitalized, as well as Catholic capitalized, and every other word is lowercase with exception of, again, of Allah. You know, folks, the Quran clearly states that Allah is one of the Islamic gods' names. He's also named Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahman. And the Quran says that he has 99 names and all of his names are beautiful. But the Quran goes to great lengths to say that Ilah is the Arabic word for God. It is derived from Il and Eloah in Hebrew, which is the Hebrew word for God. And that Allah is the Islamic God's name. And it says it over and over and over again that Allah is his name. In fact, all of the declarations of one's participation in Islam say there is no God but Allah, and God and Allah are different. One's a word and one's a name, and they're different. And this notion that Allah is the Arabic name for God requires a complete lack of knowledge. Either that or to be completely and utterly irrational. And yet it is promoted by virtually every religious leader and religious institution and media outlet and journalist. If the Quran, which is the only place where the world is introduced to Allah, Allah is meaningless outside of Islam's Quran. And Allah was simply one of 360 rock gods in the rock pile of a shrine called the Kaaba in Mecca. He wasn't even the top dog. And Muhammad's first god was Ar-Rahman, which was a Yemenite rock and moon deity. And so, apart from Muhammad's elevation of Allah once he fled Mecca in shame following the satanic verses, there wouldn't be one person in a million on the planet that would have ever heard of the name Allah. But the Quran, which is the only place where we find this name, says that it's a name and not a word. And every time that it's deployed in the Quran, Il and Ilah are used to convey God, the word, while Allah is used to convey the God's name. Now imagine this if you're the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, it's got to be the most reprehensible organization on the planet today. You're the Roman Catholic Church, and in every one of your Arab-speaking countries that you have a presence, you're fighting for the right to use the name Allah to replace Yahweh's name in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. I mean, it's one thing for you to write Yahweh's name out of your variations of the Bible and to replace it with the Lord. But to publish your Bibles with the name Allah, where Yahweh's name is, it's just mind-boggling. Inappropriate. And then to add that to the fuel to the fire, in the rest of the world, they fight not to use Yahweh's name, even though that is the only name of God. Even the individual that they claim that their church is based on, Yahusha, is Yahweh Saves. They are absolutely disingenuous, deceitful, manipulating, maniacal. Anybody that is a Roman Catholic, you ought to have your head examined. The legal wrangling guys that were seen as a test case for the Malaysia's wider Christian community. But the government later clarified that the verdict was confined to the Catholic newspaper and the at the center of the controversy. The Roman Catholic newspaper constantly wrote Allah as God's name. Worshippers can still use Allah to refer to God in their churches, the government added. The divisive case in which the Roman Catholic Church challenged a government ban on its longtime use of the Arabic word, it's not a word, it is a name, moron, comes as minorities raise concerns that their rights are under threat from an increasing Islamization of Malaysia. Rather than Islamization of Malaysia, every Islamic country is becoming more fundamentalist, more Salafist, and therefore more prone to apply Sharia law. That's happening around the Islamic world, where today about 70% of Muslims are fundamentalists, which means that they are jihadists, which means they are beyond reason, beyond hope. The government had previously banned the use of Allah in the local Malay language edition of the church's Herald newspaper. The use of the word angered Muslims who say Christians are overstepping their religious boundaries. For a Christian to use Allah is so stupid, so disrespectful, so utterly hypocritical. It tells me that the Christians in this part of the world have completely lost their ability to be rational. Talk about a people that are beyond hope. But a government spokesperson later clarified the ruling only applies to the Herald newspaper's use of the word Allah, and Malaysian Christians can still use the word Allah in church. Christians had argued that they have used the word to refer to God in Malay for centuries. So, our justification is the same justification we have for Sunday. Yeah, we understand that God's name is Yahweh, but we've used Allah because we like it better for centuries. So it must be okay. We know that Yahweh etched in stone that we're to make the Shabbat, the seventh day, special, but yeah, we like the Lord's Day, Sunday, because, you know, all of the gods of various countries are based on solar deities. We like Sunday better. We've been doing it for years. So that's our justification. Wow. The Christian community continues to have the rights to use the name Allah in our Bibles, church services, and church gatherings, as we have done all this while, said U Hong Sing, a chairman of the Christian Federation of Malaysia. Oh boy, U Hong Sing, I would love to see your reaction when you meet Yahweh and are judged by him. And he says, so, you were misleading an entire religious establishment with this rot? U Hong, not so good there, pal. Lawyers for the Roman Catholic Church said that they would explore further ways to challenge the ban, expressing fears that Monday's ruling could be used as a precedent to curtail religious freedom in other cases. Yes, religious freedom is all about giving religions the freedom to mislead. And in this case, there is nothing more important than knowing Yahweh's name. Nothing. Because when you know Yahweh's name, you are not going to be deceived by a religion that calls itself Christianity. If you know Yahweh's name, you're not going to be deceived by a religion that prays to Jesus. If you know Yahweh's name, you're going to know that Islam is not an Abrahamic religion. If you know Yahweh's name, you're not going to be beguiled by Judaism, which calls God Hashem, the name. If you know Yahweh's name, you're on the path to knowing him. Yes, religious freedom is nothing but giving religions the freedom to lie, to deceive, to damn. Outside the court, which was cordoned off around 100 Muslim activists, they cheered the news of the verdict, of course, as Muslims do. Earlier, they had shouted, Allahu Akbar, which this dimwit of a journalist put, God is great. It doesn't mean that. It's Allah is bigger, older, and greater. It's a comparison between Allah and Yahweh. And, of course, you've got the Roman Catholic Church and Christians in Malaysia agreeing with them that, yeah, Allah is greater than Yahweh. That's why we like Allah. Allah is greater than Yahweh is what they're saying. I got news for you. Allah was modeled after Satan. Satan is not greater than Yahweh. We must defend, these are the Muslims shouting, Allah, because this is our religious obligation. I hope other communities, including Christians, understand this. Ibrahim Ali, head of the Muslim rights group in Pershka, told the AFP. The church launched a court case to challenge the directive, arguing that Allah had been used for centuries in the Malay language Bibles and other literature to refer to God outside of Islam. But authorities say using Allah in non-Muslim literature could confuse Muslims and entice them to convert, a crime punishable by death in Malaysia. So we're just protecting all the little Muslims. Isn't that lovely of them? We'll return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. This next article is related also to Christians. It says Iraq's beleaguered Christians make final stand on the front lines of Mosul. It begins by telling us that over three-quarters of Iraq's Christians, the Chaldean Catholics, the Syriac Orthodox Christians, it doesn't mention the Assyrian Christians, but maybe they're including them in the Syriac Orthodox. And the rest have left the country. And they've done so because once America invaded, they hold on so since 2003 when America invaded Iraq. And you think that, you know, that America is allegedly a Christian country. We were called the Crusaders by the Muslims. And you would think that, America being a, you know, where Christianity is the dominant religion, we'd go in, and the very first thing we would do is protect the Christians so that they aren't slaughtered. Saddam Hussein, who was this horrible dictator, according to America, he protected the Christians. But America invades, and the Christian population is annihilated. IQ claims it's 90%. And what this says is that three-quarters have fled, which means, and we know that tens of thousands have been killed. IQ's assessment of 90% murdered or exiled is probably accurate. And you realize that this happened as a direct result of the U.S. invasion. And you have to question the morality of our country under those circumstances. You know, we're pressing Iraq for inclusion, and yet between 2003 and today, from the time that America invaded Iraq to today, the Christian population has been decimated by 90%. And most of that time, America was in charge. And we delivered the antithesis of inclusion. And during the time America was in charge, we wouldn't allow the Kurds to have any autonomy. The problem isn't the Maliki government, it's the United States. The town of Bartella, which is 10 miles from Mosul, is a largely Assyrian Orthodox community. It has 16,000 citizens, and it faces a very vivid incarnation of an ever-present threat, according to this journalist. They have been car-bombed multiple times in recent years. But now, their adversaries have an army. If the jihadists are to be believed, this journalist says, that the Assyrian Orthodox Christians have nothing to fear. Through its social media accounts, the alliance of ISIS and former Baathist from the Saddam Hussein regime that now runs Mosul, has assured the wider world that they have no quarrel with the Christian minority so long as they observe Sharia laws, which has been implemented. Well, under Sharia, Christians not only have no rights, but Muslims can rape them, which they're doing. Muslims can rob them, which they're doing. Muslims can kill them, which they're doing. Under Sharia law, the Christians have no rights. So, of course, the Muslims from ISIS have absolutely no issue with Christians, so long as they comply with Sharia, which gives Muslims the ability to rape them, rob them, torture them, and murder them. Christian women are already now forced to wear the abaya, the long cloak and hood worn by women in, this says, the Gulf, as opposed to Muslims. You know, Muhammad thought that his fellow Muslims who were raping other, all of the women that they captured, were trying to be able to have, also to have sex with his, because Muhammad got first pick. You know, every time they would go into a terrorized community and they would literally draw lots to have the order that the Muslim terrorists could choose which one woman they wanted to rape. Muhammad always got first pick. And so Muhammad's women were the cutest. So Muhammad forced his wives to wear a tent so that only their eyes could be seen to protect his women from his jihadists who he had told rape was legal. And so it was then imposed on all Muslim women and has been now for 1400 years. But now in Iraq, Christians must dress like Muslims.